Hello, this is Paula Kaufman, reading stories from the Journal Republican, dated June 11th through 17th. We'll start with the article headlined, Holly's Eatery Opens in Monticello, by Steve Hoffman, June 17th. Holly Miller's dream of owning a country-style restaurant complete with local vendors with a monthly Sunday market never died. It was just temporarily delayed. After several months of remodeling and installing the infrastructure needed to run an eatery at 1204 Bear Lane in Monticello, she opened Holly's Country Canning and Craft Kitchen in March, only to have the dine-in portion shut down due to COVID-19-related restrictions. But Miller is a determined soul. She had already been operating her freezer and take-and-bake meals for several years, so she was more than ready to provide the take-home option that was still allowed. Looking back, she sees it as a blessing that allowed her a soft opening of sorts. In a way, COVID-19 worked for me, because I was able to still make a living off the take-and-bake and freezer meals while the restaurant was closed, so that all the construction could be completed, said Miller, a rural Atwood native who now lives in Monticello. But she is still itching to serve dine-in customers, which could start happening in the next month. In the meantime, she is serving up to 75 customers a day with curbside and takeout, mostly during lunch hours. The Monticello community has been great, she added. Miller's goal is to have a Cracker Barrel-style establishment where people can both eat and shop. Her restaurant capacity is about 75, which will be trimmed to about 36 for a while to afford social distancing in the next phase of COVID recovery guidelines. There are also 4 vendors with room for up to 7 currently, and many more during Second Sunday markets, which could resume as early as next month. Growing up on a farm gave Miller a lifelong appreciation for country cooking, something she promised husband Jason would be included in her offerings. One of the things my husband said to me was, when you open, please make real farmer food. So there will always be meat and potatoes, and we will always have salads and wraps for healthy items as well, she said. Generous portions are also on the plate, or takeout tray, currently. Her $10 lunches include an entree, side, dessert, and drink. It's real country farm food, a little elevated. Everything is homemade, said Miller, saying the menu includes hand-fried country fried steak, real mashed potatoes, and potato salad made from scratch. One of her specialties, once dine-in begins, is a volcano potato, her spin on a twice-baked. The potato is served on end instead of flat, with filling spilling out the top and down the sides. I'm pretty famous for my dessert, she adds, pointing to specialty cake flavors like strawberry and devil's food cake that's already feeding into the sweet tooth of local patrons. Her cooking obsession started with canning, encouraged with equipment she received from her grandmother. Things then got a bit out of hand, she jokes. It started out I was going to get a little storefront with a little kitchen, do take and bake and freezer prep. Then, the more I thought about it, I could have the restaurant I want, serve the food I want, said the 1991 Atwood Hammond High School graduate. Holly's Country Canning and Craft Kitchen. Holly's is currently open for curbside and takeout orders from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Tuesdays through Sundays. Specials are announced on her Facebook site. Freezer prep and take-and-bakes are also readily available in the restaurant during those times. To order meals, call 217-762-3663. COVID-19 update. A.G. Raoul tests positive. Hospital bed use continues to decline. By Jerry Nowicki, Capital News, Illinois. June 16th. 26 prisoners, 3 staff at East Moline Correctional Center confirmed to have virus as well. Springfield. Attorney General Kwame Raoul has tested positive for COVID-19, his office announced in a news release Tuesday, and the governor plans to get retested as well. After experiencing minor symptoms over the weekend, I consulted with my health care provider using telehealth services. Upon the advice of my doctor, I was tested yesterday and informed today that I have tested positive for COVID-19, Raoul said in a news release. Rule said in the statement, his symptoms remain mild, and he continues to be in contact with staff to manage operations of his office. The programs and services provided by the Attorney General's office will continue uninterrupted, he said. The Attorney General also said he has been self-isolating since first experiencing symptoms and will continue to do so upon guidance from doctors and public health authorities. Raul said he is in the process of identifying individuals he came into contact with, and they would be advised to self-isolate and seek telehealth guidance. The news release did not say where Raul may have contracted the virus, but on June 6th, he attended a South Suburban Day of Action in Calumet City with several other elected officials, including Governor J.B. Pritzker. Both of the leaders spoke at the event. The governor attended an event with the Attorney General on Saturday, June 6th. The governor always wears a mask and will be tested again today after attending a march and other public events, a spokesperson said in an email statement Tuesday. The state also announced Tuesday that 26 incarcerated men at the East Moline Correctional Center tested positive for COVID-19 and are appropriately isolated or quarantined and being closely monitored by medical personnel. Three staff at the facility also tested positive for the virus, and one has recovered, according to IDPH. All the confirmed cases at the facility were traced to the same dorm-style living unit, according to a news release, which said the Illinois Department of Corrections Medical Task Force is working to prevent any further spread. Those who have contracted COVID-19 in Illinois have a 93% recovery rate 42 days after having contracted the virus, according to the Illinois Department of Public Health. The state announced another 72 COVID-19-related deaths Tuesday, bringing the total casualties to 6,398. There were 623 new confirmed cases among 18,729 tests completed over the previous 24 hours, bringing the total confirmed cases to 133,639 since the pandemic first arrived in Illinois. Hospital bed usage continues to decline, as there were 1,939 total hospital beds in use by COVID-19 patients in the state as of midnight Tuesday, marking the third straight day that number dipped below 2,000, after seeing a high of more than 5,000 in April. There were 561 intensive care unit beds in use by COVID-19 patients, marking the third straight day of fewer than 600 such beds in use. That metric saw highs of more than 1,200 in April and May. There were 331 ventilators in use as of midnight, making for 1 week straight of fewer than 400 ventilators in use after that number saw highs of 800 in April. Although the number of confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Illinois is decreasing, I urge people to follow guidance from public health officials by staying at least 6 feet away from others, wearing a face mask when around others, and washing your hands often, Raul said. I am fortunate to be otherwise healthy and am following recommendations to protect those around me. Capital News Illinois is a nonprofit, nonpartisan news service covering state government and distributed to more than 400 newspapers statewide. It is funded primarily by the Illinois Press Foundation and the Robert R. McCormick Foundation. Handley retires after 16 years as MMS principal, by Steve Hoffman, June 12th. Known for her sense of humor, being able to identify with middle schoolers. Leave it to one of Monticello's biggest optimists to find a silver lining in the school building shutdowns that took place the final quarter of the school year. I think there's been some good with this stay-at-home stuff. It's caused families to get back in touch with who families are and kind of navigate through taking the social media aspect out of it and just spending time with each other. It's important, said Jean Handley, the 16-year Monticello Middle School principal who retires this week. Her high-octane personality will not be easy to forget. She's a St. Louis Cardinal-loving, joke-cracking, medically certified adult ADD patient who has used all of those attributes to her advantage. I tell people that I like to do things unconventionally, so I might as well retire that way, said Hanley of the COVID-19 instigated closure of school buildings the final 2 months of the school year. A Springfield native who earned 4 education degrees from Eastern Illinois University, her plans were originally to be a physical education instructor. When a shoulder injury shelved that, Hanley went back to school and became a school counselor. After 2 years at Morrisonville, she landed at Monticello High School in 1994, serving there for a decade as a counselor prior to becoming principal of Monticello Middle School. She is not a Piatt County native, but is definitely a part of the community and plans on sticking around. This is my family. It is absolutely my family. I have had 2 generations of students having started in the district in 1994, said the principal, noting she will travel and play plenty of golf in her retirement. When colleagues are asked who Handley is, her sense of humor is always at the top of their list. We will miss her sense of humor and the climate that she created in the Taj Mahandley, aka Monticello Middle School, quipped school superintendent Vic Zimmerman. Whiteheath Elementary principal Emily Widener got to know her first as a student, where Hanley made a deep impression on her as a coach. She influenced me most when she was my high school basketball and softball coach. She gave us confidence by celebrating the things we did well and downplaying the mistakes we made. I had a great time playing for her, and my friends did too. I adopted her philosophy when I became a coach a few years later, and I still focus on instilling confidence in the girls I coach now, said Widener. Handley uses her humor and longevity in the district to her advantage. In her last few years, she found herself in charge of a second generation, children of those she had mentored a generation earlier. When I see those parents again, I know things about them. I tell them if you're nice to me, I won't tell your child how you were then, she chuckles. Colleagues also call her one of the most caring staff members they have worked with. Caring. Jean connects with people of all ages and backgrounds. She has a way of making each person feel special, said Lincoln Elementary Principal Mary Vogt. She will also be remembered for how much she cared for her students and staff, added Denise Troster, who worked closely with Handley as the middle school assistant principal. I've learned a lot about being an administrator from Jean. I've called her numerous times over the last 11 years for advice on how to handle a situation. I'm going to miss her humor. When we are together, we always have a blast, said Nancy Rosenberry, the principal at Washington Elementary School. That caring came through in a school that shepherds students at a tender age, somewhere between being a kid and wanting to be an adult. Hanley said she felt that was the most important part of her job. Our academics is strong, but social and emotional growth is just as important. We really focus on how they're feeling about themselves, how they're reacting to things around them, and creating a positive experience in a time that can be very difficult for tweens, she said. An example from her final school year. Noticing that students were starting to lack the ability to communicate directly, a stricter policy on cell phones was implemented. When I announced to parents at the open house, they cheered it. It was like a standing ovation, and it was a great thing, she said. She's also open about her attention deficit disorder, which Hanley knew about as a child, but was not formally diagnosed until adulthood. I went on medicine when I was 45, she noted. As in all things, she used ADD to her benefit, this time to identify with middle schoolers. Me being open and honest with the kids has helped when they're struggling with it, said Hanley. And then, of course, she goes for the joke. When I say I have ADD, there won't be a single person who knows me that well will say, really? Her standard farewell. Hanley's signature sign-off after every report she gave at monthly school board meetings says it all about her attitude. I've got the best job in the world, and I thank you for allowing me to do it on a daily basis, she stated. That best job is now in the hands of Mark Hughes, whom Handley has worked with in the past and gives high grades. If I could have picked anyone, it would have been Mark. He's going to be phenomenal. MMS will not miss a step with him at the helm. We're blessed. And he doesn't have ADD, she added. In an outgoing statement, she got more serious. I really feel honored and blessed to have been given the opportunity in this district from the beginning, and then being given the opportunity to be an educational leader. And I can't thank the parents, the community, my staff, and the students enough. They've made an impact on my life they will never know, she said. Obituaries. Donald Bryce Walters, 96, of Sarasota, Florida, passed away on Sunday, June 7th. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be given to Bee Ridge Presbyterian Church. There will be a celebration of life at a future date. Condolences to the family may be mailed to Marcia Cruce, C-R-U-C-E, 4845 Bunyan Place, Sarasota, Florida, 34232. Martin Lynn Maguet, 83, of Monticello, passed away on June 13th at his home. Private family services will be held at this time, with a celebration of life service held at a later date. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that memorials may be made to the Monticello United Methodist Church. Linda Louise Kinzel, 82, of Monticello, died Thursday, June 11th. A private graveside service will be held. Memorials may be made to Faith in Action. Janice L. Gilbert Sober of Mansfield died on Monday, June 8th. Donations in Janice's memory may be made to the Piatt County Animal Shelter, 306 North Buchanan Street, Monticello, 61856, or any animal rescue organization. Betty L. Dyson, 95, of Monticello, formerly of White Heath, passed away June 10th at the Piatt County Nursing Home, Monticello. A graveside service was held on Monday, June 15th. Memorials may be made to the White Heath United Methodist Church, White Heath Community Club, White Heath Fire Department, or the Piatt County Nursing Home. Parklets to Remain Through the Summer in Monticello by Steve Hoffman, June 16th. The parklets installed in downtown Monticello May 29th to increase outdoor seating capacity at local restaurants will likely remain through the end of August, according to city officials. Installed after the state decided to allow outdoor seating, indoor service is still not allowed due to COVID-19 regulations, the reception has been good enough to keep the parklets in place through August. The feedback overall has been great, so I think we should continue it through the summer, said City Community Development Director Callie Jo McFarland. Council member Mary Vogt is one of many who appreciate the parklets, which take parking spots and convert them into restaurant seating. I appreciate the work the city and Monticello Main Street did to make the parklets happen. The last time we met, it was a concept, and now it has been brought to fruition, said Vogt. I had a chance to go out to lunch with some coworkers, and it was really nice. I appreciate the chance for our restaurants to be open and the work that it took and the collaboration to get it done. There is a chance that the concept will return during warm weather next year, whether there is a virus to contend with or not. We've had discussions already about whether to do this every year. We need to see it operate under normal circumstances before we make that decision, added McFarland. Aldermen approved an amendment to the liquor code to add parklets to the ordinance. It was approved 7-1 with Rodney Burris casting the no vote. Another amendment, adding a 7th Class H liquor license, which allows for outdoor seating for burgies, was also approved 7-1. Several city council members and staff complimented the community and planners of the Demonstration for Justice and Peace, which drew 500 to the Courthouse Square on June 6th. The residents of Monticello did themselves proud, showing the community with its best foot forward, said Mayor Larry Stoner. Burris was also impressed with the event. It went very well. I think a lot of people got to air a lot of opinions and open up discussion. I think it was great, he said. Tom Reed complimented staff on their work to help ensure the event was well-planned and peaceful. I really appreciate the work the staff did to get ready for the event, said Reed. I know they put a lot of time in on it. Monticello Police Officer Terry Jones told the council that many area agencies helped with the event, including Illinois State Police, Piatt County Sheriff's Department, ILEAS Mobile Field Force, Bement Police, Kirby Ambulance, Monticello Fire, Cisco Fire, Mid-Piatt Fire, Monticello Public Works, City Administrator Terry Summers, and City Administrative Assistant City Clerk Jill Potts. In other action, the council heard a proclamation read by Stoner honoring the Piatt County Historical and Genealogical Society on its 40th anniversary as an organization. Was reminded that the Piatt County HyperReach mass notification system is up and running. To sign up to receive notices, go to https://signup.hyper-reach.com/ilpiatt-signup.html or by texting ALERT to 217-262-6981. Piatt County Emergency Management Agency Director Mike Holmes told the county board last week that 1,200 people have already signed up for the local HyperReach system, and heard a monthly report from Fire Chief John Rupke, who said the department responded to 39 calls in May. Kraus records special concert for Allerton Solstice event by Steve Hoffman, June 16th. People won't actually see Victor Kraus and his band playing as they cruise and stroll through Allerton Park and Retreat Center for its unique summer solstice concert cruise the evening of June 20th. But they'll be able to hear him if they tune to WILL-FM. The Champaign native and accomplished bassist has done all he can to reflect the outdoor nature of Allerton for the pre-recorded concert, which will be broadcast from 7 to 9 p.m. on the radio station. It will also be available to stream at https://will.illinois.edu/fm/willplayer. We recorded it outside my parents' farm, which is about 25 miles from his Nashville area home, said Kraus. We wanted to emulate what Allerton Park is. That means there will not only be the smooth jazz stylings of Kraus and his bandmates, but the sounds of nature. Of course, outdoor concert recordings bring on their own set of challenges. At one point, we were contending with a rooster in the background. There's a lot of wildlife happening at 9 a.m., said Kraus, who spent about 5 hours recording it on June 7th. Technically, concert goers could listen at home to the broadcast, but what fun is that? Especially when you can grab dinner to go, tune in for good music, and hopefully see a colorful sunset at the iconic Sunsinker statue in the park. We suggest starting in downtown Monticello, making your way to Allerton Park via Allerton Road, taking a slow cruise through the park to the Sunsinker to watch the sunset, said Ashley Sims, the Park and Retreat Center's event coordinator. The Monticello Chamber of Commerce will chip in by providing information on takeout meals that can be picked up on the way to the concert. Although the state is emerging from its COVID-19-related shutdowns, Sims is encouraging those who get out of their car to observe social distancing and refrain from gathering in groups. Allerton has steadily grown its concert series since it began in 2013 and did not want it to come to a complete halt this year. The fact that the park and WILL are both operated by the University of Illinois made coordination of the remote concert that much easier. The decision to book Kraus? That was easy. Victor has a long history with Allerton and the area. He's performed several times at the park and in the music barn over the years, said Sims. We wanted to invite someone that would create a performance for us that would embody the message we're trying to invoke at this time. Someone that we love to listen to and know that our Allerton friends and family could all enjoy on a restorative Saturday evening cruise through the park. Kraus, a mainstay in the band on Lyle Lovett tours, also appreciates the chance to get creative, something that has been limited with the coronavirus outbreak. His summer tour with Lovett was canceled, but he has spent time doing projects that have been on the back burner, by email, Dropbox, and other ways where music can be generated without in-person contact. People are finding other ways to be creative, said Krauss, a movie score enthusiast who has contributed his musical talents to For the Love of the Game and Hope Floats, among others. There are projects we have wanted to do, but don't have the time, he added. One of those is an effort with a harpist colleague that is now getting off the ground. We're sharing files, and in the end, we'll have a recording, he said. Luckily, like many professional musicians, Krauss has high-quality sound equipment at home. So can record in my living room. With less time on the road, he's also enjoyed extra time with his wife and three children, one of whom will be a high schooler this fall. Concert series. The future of this summer's Allerton Summer Concert Series is still in flux, says Sims. Like many things these days, we're playing things by ear. As we get more updates from the governor and the university, we are planning accordingly, says Sims. Right now, we're trying to bring you as much virtual content as possible, she added, noting that announcements will be made later on future concerts. For information, log on to the Allerton Park and Retreat Center website at www.allerton.illinois.edu. For those wanting to know more about supporting the concerts, email Sims at anowen2@illinois.edu. As time goes by, week of June 17th. June 17th, 100 years ago. White Heath graduates, 4 get degrees in higher course and 8 finish common school course. The commencement exercises of graded schools comprising White Heath, Wildcat, Argo, Union, Prairie Chapel, and New York schools swelled the United Brethren Church in White Heath on Wednesday evening, June 2nd. Those graduating in the higher course were Pearl M. Blacker, Wildcat, Marion O. Smith, Susie Vautrain, and Hazel Fisher, White Heath. The graduates in the Common School course were Rose Wilson, Madge Klein, Argo, Velma Hanneline, Union, Joseph Furnish, Iva Sprinkle, Edith Schmidt, White Heath, Carl Glasgow, Prairie Chapel, Vincent Walsh, New York. Mr. and Mrs. Alan F. Moore and son Billy went to New York City last Friday, and from there will go to Providence, Rhode Island, where Captain Bradford V. Moore will graduate from Brown University. Bradley and Black B&B Service Station is now open in the Kilton Building, 313 West Main Street, Monticello. Full service available on short notice. Cash price for our gasoline is 28.5 cents per gallon. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. This has been Paula Kaufman, reading stories from the Journal Republican, dated June 11th through June 17th. Please stay safe. I look forward to reading with you again soon.